If you want to turn to 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, where we will start our lesson. And lesson will be a little longer maybe than last week, but not a lot. In 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, the Bible records for us an amazing event that took place during the early history of the United Kingdom of Israel, and which in essence, the United Kingdom didn't last very long in comparison to all of the kingdom. The son of King Saul and his armor bearer, which offers a valuable lesson to us about the power of God. And this lesson about Jonathan and his armor bearer is really just the introduction to the lesson, so, but don't get scared when you see how long the introduction is. So, the background. If you go to back to chapter 13, if you're following along your Bible, and verse 1 says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, then this thing happened, right? So this is the second year of Saul's reign over Israel. Israelites engaged the Philistines in battle. And so just think about this. Keep that in mind that this is the second year. So this is brand new, right? He's a new king. He's not been around very long as far as that goes as being king. And they go to battle in the second year of his reign. They began with 3,000 chosen men. You get the picture. 2,000 were with Saul at Michmash, and 1,000 with Jonathan at Gibeah. And that's this is going to kind of going down through the 13th chapter, the background here. North of Michmash and Gibeah was a Philistine garrison at Geba. Jonathan attacked that garrison in verse 3. And upon learning this, Saul called all the people together at Gilgal. Jonathan's attack on Geba stirs up the anger of the Philistines, and they gather some more people against him. And kind of reminds me, when I think of that, I think of that when the Japanese woke the sleeping giant, the United States, when they attacked Pearl Harbor. You know, if they had left us alone, things may have gone differently for them. But they didn't. And so by Jonathan attacking the Philistines, they took 30,000 chariots. Remember, they had 3,000 people. 30,000, the Israelites had 3,000. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, which is twice the amount the Israelites had of whole. And the people, in verse 5 of 13, verse 5, as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. Bad move, it would seem, right? Now they've stirred up this great horde of people that are now going to come against Israel. When the Israelites heard about this, they became very distressed and they scattered, hiding in caves and in the rocky hillsides. So they went and hid, in essence, this is what happened in verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets and rocks and holes and pits, any place they could. And rightly so, because 6,000 or 3,000 opposed to 36 and beyond of people coming against them, you don't, in essence, in man's mind, stand a chance. So they went and hid. Seeing this, Saul had a major lapse in judgment. Imagine that. Which cost him the kingdom. Even though the prophet Samuel had told him to wait for him to offer sacrifice, he offered it himself. Let's read verses 8 through 14 here in 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. Says, then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash. Now you hear he's bringing his reasons. Here's why I did this. It makes sense. Here's why. Boom, 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 boom. Verse 12. Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. That was going to be a good thing if you'd done what God said you didn't do. So verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So he's going to take the kingdom away for you. And he's told this in the second year of his reign. You think about that. The second year of his reign. He messed up from the very beginning. Again, that's just background. We're still on the background. So the scene, Samuel here goes to Jonathan. So Samuel leaves and he goes to Jonathan at Gibeah. Saul's left with only 600 men. Three companies of Philistines raid the village north of Mishmash, and with their garrison at the pass to Mishmash. So now Jonathan, now we come to chapter 14. We have Jonathan's plan. In the first three verses. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. So they've got this. Jonathan takes his armor bearer, and he's got a plan, and he's going to go do something. Let's go over to the Philistines. Let's go see what's going on. I've got a plan. Look at verses 4 and 5. Now between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sina. The front of one faced northward opposite Mishmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. And what all that is just meaning, as I see it, is it's just not a good way to go. You wouldn't normally go that way. And of course, it's a place that the Philistines, I'm sure, chose so that, and the Israelites as well, because it's not easy to get from here to there. And because of that, it's well defended, because nobody's going to come that way. But then we have Jonathan's faith in verse 6 and 7. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison, these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. God saves by many or few, right? That's what he just said. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. So the armor bearer is on board. Jonathan's on board. God's on board. So we've got, in essence, three people, three beings that are agree, that they're ready. So unlike his father, he believed God was with him. So the strategy comes up in these next few verses, verses 8 through 12. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. Not a good plan, necessarily, when you think about it, to show yourself to the enemy. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if we say, thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Because they knew they were hiding because they couldn't see anybody, right? Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. I'm sure they will. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Now, of all the people in this situation, if the Israelites would see this, what was happening, and the Philistines would see this, is there anybody out of all of those people that thought that Jonathan and the armor bearer are going to be okay? No. Nobody's going to think. But who thinks they're going to be okay? Jonathan and the armor bearer. All right? They have it in their mind that they're going to be all right. I'm sure that we don't have everything that was said. I'm sure the Philistines, there's all sorts of things being said and chided and all that going on. So what was the result? First Samuel 14, beginning in verse 15. And there was trembling in the camp and in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked so that it was a very great trembling. Well, I didn't read verse 13 and 14. They climbed up on their hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. That first slaughter. And then, in verse 15, there was a trembling in the camp and in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. So now they see what's happening. Jonathan, the armor bearer, they're having something take place that is amazing. These two are causing chaos because of what they have done. Then Saul, verse 17, said to the people who were with him, now call the roll and see who has gone from us. And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God here, for at that time the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle, and indeed every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. And likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard the Philistines fled, then they got courage. They also followed hard after them into battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. So because of this one little thing that Samuel did, or that Jonathan did, excuse me, and his armor bearer, the Philistines were defeated, in essence, and they're running away. Because, in essence, really one man. But another one to follow him. And, of course, God. And if you look to 1 Samuel 13th chapter in verses 19 to 22, we see the weapons that the children of Israel had. Look at back to 1 Samuel 13, verse 19. Says, now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords and spears. because they're afraid of these people, and rightly so. They know what has happened in the past. So they're not going to allow them to have a blacksmith so that they can have weapons of warfare. But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattocks, his axe, and his sickle. Those are working tools. And they needed to be sharpened. And so they would go down to have them sharpened. And the charge for a sharpening was a pem for the plowshares and the mattocks and the forks and the axes and set to the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son. You know who had a sword? Two people. So another reason why they would be a little afraid. Two swords, and the rest were just a bunch of stuff, just a bunch of tools. The victory came because of two men sword. As Jonathan had a sword and Saul had a sword, so it was one sword. We had faith. We had courage. And oh yeah, God. That's the introduction. So, God saved Israel that day through a few men, right? Two, really. Two. I mean, you think about that. You've got 30,000 and 6,000, and there's the sand of the sea, and you have two men. Matthew, the 7th chapter. You know, when we think about overwhelming odds, we think about how in our lives today, it is to stand up for what is right, to teach God, to teach godly principles, to stand upon the foundation that God has. You kind of feel like the two, right? You feel like the few. How about Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 13 and 14, and says, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it," like the two. Few two. God saved Israel through a few. God is going to save the world through a few people. Few. The few. And that needs to be us. We are the few. But it's possible. God knows that it's not going to be the masses in the world that's going to stand forth and hold their light. He knows that it's not going to be that way. So we shouldn't expect that it's going to be. It's never been that way. It's always, he can do it by the many, or he can do it by the few. And the few is how it is for us today. There are few who find it. Jonathan had a sword. He had an armor bearer and he had a sword. And he had the Philistines running because of his sword. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, we also have that available to us. Now, not an actual sword, but in Hebrews chapter 4, in verses 12 and 13, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." The sword that we have, obviously, is the Bible. And the Bible is sharper than any sword that Jonathan or anybody has ever had or ever will have. And we have it available to us every single day to use, to be able to help us on this, to save the few. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, along with that, we have talked about the armor of God. And it's called, in this passage, Ephesians 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 13, it's the whole armor of God. But as we'll get there to the sword. Ephesians 6 and verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Bible. Now there's many other things to put on, but the Bible is ultimately the thing by which we're going to defend or maybe even attack those things in life. The whole armor of God. To turn back to Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Took a lot of faith for Jonathan to go up to the garrison of the Philistines. A lot of faith in God. He believed that God was on his side. He believed that he would be victorious, and that the Philistines would not be victorious, but they would be overcome because of God. In Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, in the first four verses, it says, when you go out to a battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. And here's why. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And that's exactly what Jonathan felt. And that's exactly what we have today for us, available to us. Now, he's not talking about physically going up into battle against someone, that we're going to defeat them, but we're going to be able to overcome, because he is with us. In Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it just goes back to the Bible here. And so this faith is by hearing, or we could put reading if you want to, but by ingesting somehow in God's word into us. Faith comes by hearing God's word. It's the very thing that strengthens us. It's the very thing that Jonathan turned to because he believed God. He believed what God said. This Deuteronomy 20. He believed that. It wasn't foolhardiness. God had promised his assistance, and he expected that God would keep his word. God has said that if you need faith to be able to be obedient to me, then what you have to do is you have to read your Bible. You have to listen to God's word. You have to find out what it says to make that faith inside of you so that you can do what God wants, so that you can be part of the few. First John, the 5th chapter, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 3 through 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's doing what the Bible says. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Faith is the victory we sing. We can overcome the world by faith. We can only have faith by reading God's Word. Want to be part of the few? Then that's exactly what you have to do. Going back to Deuteronomy, and this time, chapter 31. Talking about courage. And if I was standing there at that scene with Jonathan and the armor bearer, and I'm watching, I don't care what side of the field I'm on, whether I'm a Philistine or I'm an Israelite, I'm going to think that those two men are absolutely out of their mind, completely lost it. There is absolutely no way that they can become victorious. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And that's got to be in his mind as this is going on. This has got to be in his mind. This courage that he has. That God is going to be with him. He's going to be with him when they go to attack the Philistines. That he's going to be with them. They had the courage to do that. That's an example to us that we need to take into our lives on a daily basis. And then finally, they had God. They had God with them. And they believed that they had God with them. Jonathan did, and his armor bearer. The power of God. And in Romans, the first chapter, in verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of this thing that I'm reading and I'm hearing. For it is the power of God to salvation. It's the, we'll just put power of God down here. It's the power of God to salvation. In the particular case of Jonathan, it was the salvation of his life. He didn't lose his life because of it there. He's talking about salvation, of eternal salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's just what Jonathan was doing. And he had the courage because he believed the power of God was with him. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. All of the Philistines thought that if Jonathan would have told them that I believe that God can do this by many or few, and his word has told us, the Bible has told us that we can use our sword, in their case it was a real sword, and we believe that, and that's why I have courage, because the power of God is with me, they laughed at him. They'd have thought that it was foolishness. The message that you're telling me is foolishness. People today, some say that the cross of Christ is foolishness because they're perishing. They don't believe it. But to us who are being saved, those of us that believe it, it is the power of God. And that's where Jonathan was. So the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, and it's the power of God to those that believe. So the question is, where are you? Are you on the side with Jonathan, or are you on the side with the Philistines? I mean, the Philistines, and we could write down, they had numbers, and they had weapons, and they had chariots, and they had horses, and they had all sorts of physical things. But they didn't have God's word, faith, the courage to really know that God was with them and the power of God. Which side do you want to be on? That's the choice we have today. It's the choice we have today to make every single day. Are we going to follow God by according to what His Word says so that we can have the courage to do the things that we need to? Or are we going to be like the Philistines and be defeated? The choice is ours. The choice is yours. You make it every single day. Make it a good one. As the song we're about to sing says, let him have his way with thee. Isn't that right? 343? It's your choice. You want Jesus to have his way with you, God? Then read his Bible. Have the courage to be on God's side. If we could help you this morning and make your life right in any way, won't you let us know as we stand and sing this song?